KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:06, it's cloudy and 29 degrees in Atlantic. We're looking for a cloudy today at the high of 34. Could see some areas of fog and freezing mist this morning. And winds out of the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In area news, a Libertarian candidate who has filed for election to fill the Iowa Senate seat vacated by Joni Ernst is facing a sexual assault charge in Sarpy County, Nebraska. The Daily Nonpareil reports 69-year-old Don Brantz faces misdemeanor charges that include third-degree sexual assault, third-degree assault, disturbing the peace, and interfering with a public service company. According to the complaint filed last month in Sarpy County Court, the charges stem from an incident on October the 10th near 36th and Emmeline Streets in Bellevue, Nebraska. Brantz, who lives near Mineola, is a former Mills County board member and former social worker. He filed for Ernst District 12 seat on December 15th after gaining the nomination from the Libertarian Party of Iowa. Brantz will be on the ballot in a special election December 30th against two other candidates, Republican Mark Costello of Imogene and Democrat Steve Adams of Red Oak. District 12 represents the southwest Iowa counties of Mills, Montgomery, Fremont, Page, Taylor, and Ringgold. An ethics complaint filed against the superintendent of the Trainer Community School District has prompted two charges in an administrative law court seeking professional disciplinary action. According to the Daily Nonpareil, Superintendent Kevin Elwood is accused of allowing the Trainer School District to hire a custodian in the summer of 2013, who Elwood allegedly was aware had sexually assaulted a student. The Iowa Board of Educational Examiners has charged Elwood with two counts of unethical practice. In a notice issued November the 4th, the board alleges that Person A sexually assaulted a trainer student on or after May 21st of 2013. The notice goes on to allege that Person A was hired by a custodian under Elwood's consent and authority and worked through July 16th of 2013. The board says Elwood failed to appropriately respond to a similar allegations in the past. Based on the document from the IBOEE, it is not apparent that Person A refers to any of the publicly known claims of sexual assault investigated in Trainer. A hearing is scheduled to begin January 5th in Des Moines before Administrative Law Judge Laura Lockard. In order to avoid the hearing, Elwood has the option to surrender his professional license or negotiate a settlement agreement. Lockard is responsible for drafting a decision that would then go before the IBOEE for review and final determination on whether an ethical violation occurred, and if it has, what disciplinary sanction is appropriate. Kim Cunningham, the IBOEE secretary, said Thursday that the November 4th notice was the only document available for public inspection related to Elwood's case. A complaint, which was not disclosed but was referenced in the hearing notice, was received January 15th by the IBOEE. It also indicates Elwood had to file a response to the charges by late November. Following an investigation, the board members determined probable cause to proceed with the hearing at its June 14th meeting. Minutes from the meeting show the decision was unanimous. At the hearing, Elwood will face accusations of violating two standards for ethical conduct toward other members of the profession, parents, students, and the community, as outlined in the Iowa Administrative Code. As the investigation into Trainer Superintendent Kevin Elwood's alleged inaction and the alleged sexual assault of a student by a district custodian, it's not the first case involving sexual assault allegations in the Trainer School District this year. Trainer made headlines back in January after Elwood's son, Creighton, was accused of sexually assaulting several girls in 2012. He pleaded guilty to reduced charges and has to register as a sex offender for the next decade. The case involving his son prompted an online petition demanding Kevin Elwood's immediate resignation. At the time, the petitioner said the superintendent did not properly investigate reports of alleged sexual abuse and harassment in the school district. Another case came to light in May when Michael Travis, a trainer, teacher, and assistant softball coach, was accused of inappropriately touching two softball players during separate incidents in 2002 and 2006. Additional charges against Travis were filed this week. He now faces two counts of sexual exploitation by a school employee related to new alleged victims from 2004 and 2005, as well as two similar counts from the original criminal complaint. Travis has pleaded not guilty to the initial charges and is scheduled to stand trial on January 27th. He has not had a preliminary hearing on the new charges. Police and Council Bluff said Thursday that two arrests have been made in connection to the theft of mail from mailboxes in the community. Bluff's police captain, Todd Wedham, reports 45-year-old Eric J. Kriegler and 30-year-old James A. Witzel, both of Council Bluffs, Kramer, each charged with four counts of theft. Kregler also faces charges associated with four traffic offenses. According to Wedham, a Council Bluffs resident called 911 Thursday to report they had eyewitnessed a white Toyota sedan in their neighborhood. The occupants of the vehicle were allegedly stealing mail from residential mailboxes. A short time later, a Council Bluffs police officer saw a vehicle matching that of the suspects and initiated a traffic stop at the intersection of Bluffs and Willow Streets. The driver, identified as Kregler, was subsequently arrested for several traffic offenses. Upon further investigation, though, it was determined the vehicle contained pieces of mail stolen from three different neighborhoods in Council Bluffs. Kregler and his passenger were then taken into custody. The Criminal Investigation Division of the Council Bluffs Police Department is continuing to look into the case to see if any additional charges will be added. The U.S. Postal Service Inspector's Office was also notified of the incident. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning on KJAN, Rita Linen, age 92, of Woodbine, died Sunday. A massive Christian burial service for Rita Linen will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at St. Mary, Our Lady of Fatima Church in Portsmouth. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Bob Cole Jr., age 52, of Atlantic, died December 9th. Funeral services for Bob Cole Jr. will be held Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Madge Fiscus, age 88, of Ames, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Madge Fiscus will be held Saturday at 1 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Candy Ann Pangburn Batansis, age 42, of Harlan and formerly of Atlantic, died Saturday in Council Bluffs. Memorial services for Candy Batansis will be on Sunday at 3 o'clock in the community room of Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Neva Manns, age 84, of Avoca, died Wednesday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Neva Manns will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Howard Paulson, age 89, a lifelong resident of Atlantic, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Howard Paulson will be on Monday at 11 o'clock at the First Baptist Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. And Kenneth Kramer, age 97, of Atlantic and formerly of Rural Lewis, died Monday. Memorial services for Kenneth Kramer will be held at a later date at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.